Audio for the Retro Computing Roundtable is hosted by CyberEars. When you need a rock-solid platform to host and distribute your podcast or other audio media, head over to CyberEars.com. Fast, reliable hosting with unlimited bandwidth. CyberEars is your audio on your terms. Welcome to the Retro Computing Podcast, to be named later. We have yet to come up with a name, but we have come up with a lot of people.
Well, it seems the Emerald City is far behind me now. And my world has changed back from black to white. But no matter where I go, there's just one thing I'd like to know.
Joining me here, I think in a chapel in Rockhurst University in Kansas City, Missouri, is some larger than five number of podcasters from podcasts you probably listen to and enjoy. And let's go around the table, the square table, and we'll introduce ourselves and let the lovely listeners know who's at the other end of the headphones, starting with my left.
I am Kevin Savitz. I am one of the hosts of Antic, the Atari 8-bit podcast.
Hi, I'm Michael from the Retro Computing Roundtable, here with all my friends.
Steve Weirich, also from the Retro Computing Roundtable.
And I'm Quinn Dunkey, one half of Open Apple.
I'm Ken Gagne, occasionally of the Retro Computing Roundtable, and always of Polygamer and IndieCider.
Yo, what's up, podcast land? This is your boy! This is Mike Whalen of Electric Dreams, and occasionally on RCR.
We were doing so well.
This is Rob McMullen of the Player Missile Podcast.
I'm Paul Hegstrom of the RCR podcast and Drop 3 Inches.
And I'm John Leake from the Retro Maccast.
And I'm John Linville, one half of the Coco Crew.
And Wade Rupkowski from Inverse Atasky, the Atari 8-bit productivity podcast.
And that brings me back to me, which is I am Carrington of RCR as well. So we are here at Kansas Fest, the annual gathering of Apple II and others, and this year,
infiltrators.
Well, more than ever, we do have infiltrators. We forgot to spray for Atari last year when we saw first signs of it.
Now there's more of them. Now there's
everywhere. There's Atari everywhere.
I told you we should have gotten them spayed and or neutered.
They're in the walls now.
You see the ads, you don't think it'll affect
now you.
Now
you got to sell the house.
But no, that's actually being one of the big differences this year, is not only is it the largest attendance in the last, how many years?
Almost 20 years.
96.
Yeah, so crazy number of people.
73 people.
That's a lot of people.
It is.
But not just Apple II people, so that's been a big difference.
Yes.
So that's been fun. So I think what we're going to do now is go yet again around the table, maybe in the same order. Does that sound good? I see nods. In the same order. And we'll talk about, to keep it quick, the one thing that you have enjoyed or been thrilled by or like something that comes to mind, but this year at Kansas Fest, what have you dug? Kevin?
There have been so many great talks and things, but the thing that I get to do here that I don't think I get to do any other place is I love doing the Hackfest. And it's just an opportunity to dig into a stupid little project and try to concentrate on this thing, this programming thing, while all this super interesting stuff is going on around you. So you're like, oh, there's this talk, and oh, here's a friend I haven't seen in a year. Oh, yay! And also, I'm trying to program in this language that I've not used in, 20 years. So I've done two Hackfest entries, and so I guess that has been, for me so far, one of the most interesting things I've done.
Well, apart from being totally overwhelmed by everything that's going on as a first-time attendee of Kansas Fest, I've just found the most interesting part is all of the new programming languages and programming tools that are available for me, predominantly for the Apple II, of course, but it just goes to show how much new stuff is actually out there for all of our favorite retro platforms. I'm just blown away.
I think I had a lot of fun with, this is Steve, I had a lot of fun with the talks yesterday, but oddly enough, as someone who has been collecting history trivia for years, I was surprisingly engrossed by the discussion yesterday about all the different varieties of the original Apple mouse used on the Macintosh and the Apple II. Who knows why I would think this trivia was interesting, but I was just fascinated by the information. So,
was that Charles's session?
Charles,
yeah.
And the minutia. I mean, I just want to. I don't. The reader, the listeners might not appreciate the minutia of this stuff. It's like, oh, this was mouse. It said M0100, except the barcode said M0100.
So you know.
Oh, sorry. And then they came up with this new version. And you know, and here are the differences in the plastic molding. It's just ridiculous, like that, and wonderful.
And I was fascinated. I have no idea why I was fascinated.
Dude, you're A2 history.
I know.
You wrote the book.
I wrote the book.
You took all the minutia and put it on paper.
That's true. Now I'm missing some. I need to add to it.
Evidently.
Not just you. I was fascinated by all the different resistor pack configurations all of what are ostensibly the same mouse model. So Quinn, if I had to pick a single session, it's probably Dave Schmank's new version of Plasma. He keeps doing really exciting stuff with that. But overall for me, it's the extracurricular stuff. A real high point for me was I presented a mouse driver with a serious bug in it, and that night Rebecca Heineman helped me fix it, and it was amazing. So that's an easy high point.
And by the way,
say
what Plasma is.
Plasma is David Schmink's bytecode programming language. It's been used in Law's Legends most famously, but... it could be used for all sorts of things.
A new programming language for the Apple II.
In 2015.
Yes.
And it runs on the Apple I and III as well. And he did that so that he could name it Plasma 1-2-3, which is amazing.
Three easy
guys. I'm surprised it's taken this long. This is Ken Gagne to say that my favorite session was Burger Becky's keynote. I have always been a gamer at heart. I gave 3 presentations at KFest today, and 2 of them were games. Or about games, and so to have such a renowned game developer come and talk to us about Bard's Tale and Dragon Wars and Task Times and Tonetown and other games that we didn't even realize she had worked on, and all the source code she has that she's now working to release, starting with Space Ace, which has already come out, and all her plans for the future. It was really encouraging to hear that someone who has been such a legend in the Apple II community is still invested in contributing to this community and preserving that history. When she talked about how one of the CEOs was just throwing millions of dollars of R&D into a shoebox and keeping the original floppies there, she's like, no, that just won't do. And she went and took that shoebox and archived that stuff. It's really great to see somebody who respects history and preservation as much as we do. I chatted with her afterward, and I hope to interview her for Juice GS and for the Polygamer podcast.
I already interviewed her today for Antic.
Oh, yeah.
Bam, I interviewed her yesterday.
I refer you all to RCR number 1.
I have very specific angles in mind that I am sure that neither of you have covered.
Oh,
angles.
Yes, angles.
Like that makes a difference.
I'm a reporter.
For Pete's sake.
Self-styled reporter.
Kevin, I have more I may not have as much experience as you, but I certainly have more training. Come on.
Gloves are off on RCR number 105.
My favorite memory was the argument at the roundtable.
So, Mike, what about you?
Well, let's see. Well, this is the only place I feel normal. No, wait. I honestly, for me, every year it's better. I just like hanging out with extremely talented and skilled and expert people that I feel like every time I come, I'm smarter after I leave. I don't know how long the smartness stays, probably because I'm disabused of that, as soon as I reach Houston again. But
see, I think just arriving here makes me dumber because I didn't realize how dumb I was until I was surrounded by smart people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Plus, you don't get to sleep, and then you like your brain's all even dumber, or at least mine is, you know. Because I've been up for 4 days straight.
Right. So, as far as a particular session, I'm trying to think. I would have to say the dinner. No. I've been streaming them all, which has been interesting, and it's.
That's been a blast. So glad you're doing that.
Apparently, it's working.
I've gotten comments from people back home.
It's been neat actually to like stay tuned in on the IRC and I can comment live in the room. And people on IRC can also be commenting, you know, at the same time, watching the same thing. So
and surprisingly cool. Few complaints. I'm very skeptical that that's going to continue.
I also have friends who are very grateful for that, incidentally. So, yeah.
Okay,
people have been asking for that for a long time, so it's huge to have it.
I'm so glad to hear that you have friends.
Wow. Most of them are in this room.
We're all watching the live stream.
It's more interactive.
Yeah, for me, I've really just been impressed with the community. You know, the community that you Apple users have. And the welcoming that you've given us Atari people.
Wait, you're an Atari person? Oh. Yeah.
Go ahead, Quinn. Go ahead, say it.
Boo Atari.
There you go.
Yeah, and they... the talks have been great. The technical knowledge that's here is just amazing, and I was impressed with the garage sale, I guess you call it, the
giveaway.
Yeah,
free
just
day.
The amount of stuff that was there that was donated, and then the speed at which it all disappeared,
and the fact that I didn't end up with any of the cocoa.
How many do you already have? You need more.
I don't need more. It's not
share
about
the
need.
Spread the love. That's how you convert.
That's right. Now you have a new listener.
That's
so possibly
true.
Cocoa,
that's true. Yeah.
So, Paul, what about you?
Well, let's see. Of course, by the time we get to me, everybody's mentioned all the sessions. But the session on copy protection, I thought was quite interesting. The very sort of deep details on the disc two. This is Mark Pilgrim's session on E7, which is sort of like a very sneaky way using the hardware of the disc controller to fool it into thinking it's read it properly and yet still be able to tell that it hadn't, that it was getting a copy. The other thing that actually I really liked was in the lounge, you know, people had stuff set up in the lounge and they were doing projects, and one of the projects, which I've, you know, just sort of have a nostalgic connection with, was there were a couple of computers set up with Apple Cat modems. So these were modems, very, very fancy, very special high-end modems from the early 80s. And that had special synthesizer properties and things. And so two of them were set up, and a little dial tone simulator was set up between them. They called each other, and they were able to chat with each other. And it was fantastic.
Which is kind of like my teenage daughters on their cell phones in the same room.
So, Please go turn up the TV.
The Apple Cat stuff was also the first instance at this Kansas Fest where I saw something explode, basically.
Yes, that's right.
Power supply blew. Smoke went everywhere.
Really?
And it's just not Kansas Festive. You'll see that at least once. So it happened early this time.
It's also only the third time in history that those obscure features of the cats had ever actually been used.
They really had special properties, and no one uses modems anymore.
Are those ones that had the synthesizer chips built in? Great.
And they also had the ability to do different baud rates simultaneously up and down, so you could download a 1200 while chatting simultaneously at 300, and other crazy features that, again, no one ever used because both ends had to have the modem.
But I definitely, I used them a lot in the 80s. So I loved to see those go again.
And seeing those cat fur lines advertised a lot, and that was using those devices.
Not all legal things that they were used for, but having a synthesizer also allowed it to synthesize things like this sound tells the payphone that a quarter has just been put in.
Yes.
Or this sound tells the phone company that you are the operator.
Hypothetically. Hypothetically.
Well, none of that works now anyway.
More than a statute of limitations ago, maybe.
Yeah. It must be at least two.
Two statutes.
Well, John here. First of all, I have to say I've never enjoyed sleep deprivation as much as I do. Every night I say I'm going to get to bed at a decent hour, midnight-ish, and then I look up and it's 2 o'clock because I've walked into a room that there was an interesting conversation going on. And you get sucked in. I would have to say I really enjoyed the Mark Pilgrim because that was such a great detective story.
Mm-hmm.
There had to have been just this amazing aha moment when he discovered what exactly was going on. But on the other hand, I loved Becky in the audience. Like, it's like, oh yeah, I knew that.
Before we go on, I'm sorry, John, I've been waiting all year for this. Can you please do your Alf impression?
Ah, Willie! Ah! Here, kitty, kitty, kitty!
Wow.
Well, I'm so glad I get to follow that. This is John Linville. I echo the praise for the technical sessions, the plasma language, the copy protection. Quinn's sessions were very good, the Wii GUI and the mouse driver intricacies. I think not everyone appreciates how much differences there is amongst the different Apple II platforms that have to be accounted for that.
The Wii GUI I thought was really cool because you know, he stated that it's to support these little projects where you've hooked up a flashing light or something like that. The kind of thing that you might do with an Arduino today, but not so long ago, an 8-bit computer was the perfect solution, and that's actually what got me into a retro computing hobby, of course, with the Coco, was being able to do those styles of projects. And so it's cool to support that and have something that people can put a nicer interface on and, you know, press a button and make things happen. On top of all that, I'd say the greatest thing about this sort of event is, of course, being able to hang out with other people who are the same kind of crazy as you are. Of course, in the Cocoa community, we have Cocoa Fest. It's my first time at Kansas Fest, but Cocoa Fest is the same kind of thing. You get to hang out and talk to people.
But isn't this the last Cocoa Fest?
They're always the last Cocoa Fest.
I heard it's the last one.
I still can't get it right.
Exactly. We keep trying. But anyway, it's great if you're into any kind of retro stuff. I mean, if you go to whatever's close to you, the various vintage computing festivals around the country, Commodore people have some of their own gatherings, and then there's the retro gaming stuff, and I won't recap all of them. But, you know, if you are listening to this podcast, find an event close enough to get to and go to it. You'll enjoy it.
All right, yeah, this is Wade. So one thing that... Well, first of all, I guess one thing I'm envious of is that there is nothing like this for the Atari community. This is absolutely amazing.
Apparently this is now for the Atari
community. There's more of you every year.
Yeah. So, but there's nothing like this camaraderie that I see here for the Atari community, in the States at least. So there may be in Poland or Czech, but not here. So, but the... Probably the best presentation I saw, well, maybe not the best, but the one that I liked the most, even though the Pokey Chip has much better sound, was the sequencer running all the Apple computers, controlling sampled sound and playing it back. What was there? Seven Apple computers being controlled by a sequencer. It was
your tweet.
Absolutely amazing that they could do this, and it was all automated and basically simulating keystrokes on separate programs running on all these Apples. It was
did provoke some unfortunate tweets.
Mm-hmm. You can.
I might have said what? Something.
That it worked, but I agree with what he said. That it took seven Apple IIs and they still couldn't match the sound from an Atari.
Can
we link up seven Ataris and do that? It would be like an orchestra.
Fine. Well, there you are. That's your challenge for next year. Right. Kansas Fest, and you sound off about it.
Let's see if I can do it.
And that brings us back to me, and for me, I think the session that sort of made me giddy the most is similar to something that happened last year, is Sarah did a session, and what I like about her session is there's so much of Kansas Fest that's very technical, and it's programmer placed, but it is an incredibly accessible, you know, space for people that just like these things. And her session was on a bit of programming, but it's sort of like an introduction to low-res programming in BASIC. And I sat down at the table, and she brought out the pencil crayons. And I'm like, this is awesome. So I really liked it. It was hands-on, and it had doodling. And last year, she had us doing crafting. And I like that this is the kind of place where you get those things, and then it gets followed up with, like, a hacking seminar. And it just runs the whole gamut, and I love it. And so it's hands-on and crafty, and I dug it.
I really like that session because I am not very inclined either software or hardware with the Apple II. I'm not very technical. That's one of the reasons I do stuff like podcasts and magazines, is because I report what other people do rather than doing it myself. And I found a lot of the sessions this year were very technically oriented, which appealed to the majority of attendees here, but it also meant that quite a few of them were over my head. So to be able to sit down with crayons for a while and actually, like, this was the first time I wrote BASIC programming in a long time. And granted, it was just in the GR mode and drawing H-lins and V-lins, but I was able to do it, and I drew the JuiceGS logo, and it didn't look bad.
That is still programming, and it was fun, and it had pencil crayons, so that was my favorite.
Yeah, Sarah's sessions always have a charm and a heart to them. There's always props, there's always toys, yep. So she's a model for the rest of us, I think.
Yep, there were toys and props on her door as well, which was great. Got to play interactive stuff on the door, which I liked. And speaking of which, before we come back and discuss a little bit more about Kansas Fest, so after these messages, where I do want to talk about what's different this year, because we talked about Kansas Fest last year, so I want to talk a bit about what it's like to be first-timer, and also what's different than previous Kansas Fest. But before we do that, we're going to do a little game, like we did a game last year. And this year, the game is going to be based on my door at Kansas Fest. A number of people will decorate their door. It's a competition, but really it's more just a fun thing to do. So some people, if they've got time or feeling crafty or what have you, or have an idea at the last minute like I did, you will decorate your door for something for other people to just look at. It kind of adds to the atmosphere, or in my case, was a little interactive. So what I did was a choose-your-own-adventure game where I foolishly and painfully hand-wrote 105 cards and stuck them in envelopes on and around my door and started envelope number one and just worked through a very, very simple, most of the time going to kill you really quickly, choose your own adventure game. And we thought, to give you a taste of that here on the podcast, we are going to run through it one or two times, just with the people sitting here. And so I'll start off and read you what people would see in card number one, and then we'll go around to the left, have Kevin pick where we go, and say we'll take it one at a time. So it says here, if you pulled card number one by the little rocking start here sign on my door, it would say, you arrive at Kansas Fest, excited for some retro fun. Suddenly, you realize you've arrived late. Now, you have three choices. Check in at the desk, race downstairs to the session room, or head to the lounge to meet people.
I'm going to check in at the desk.
You approach the desk. A sign says, back in 10 minutes. Two choices. Wait for the staff to return, or jump the desk and check yourself in.
I'm going to jump the desk and check myself in. I've got to get going on these presentations.
You scurry through the window and start rifling drawers. Instead of your key, you find a big bag of cash. When you look up, you are face-to-face with campus security. Three choices. Say, hello, officer, can I help you? Distract her with a cunning plan, or do that pretend-to-walk-downstairs thing and hop.
I think I'm going to have to do the pretend to walk the downstairs thing to hide.
You walk, quote, downstairs. Oddly, it works. You're now in the basement. Two choices. Go to the laundry room, go to the session room.
I gotta go to the laundry room.
40. I'm madly scrolling here. A washer sits open. There might be something shiny inside it. I dare you to crawl inside and look. Two choices. Crawl inside and look. Or no way.
No way.
76. Come on, do it. I double dog dare you. Two choices. Crawl inside the washer or not gonna happen.
I'm going in the washer.
And you can see the cringing from around the table. This is the washer.
Fine.
I can't believe I got you to do that. Suddenly the lid slams shut. You hear the sound of coins and probably laughter. Gurgle, gurgle, the end. Well, you're dead in the washer.
I've had a good run.
We had a good run. Okay, so maybe we'll try one more time to give people a taste of what it was like to stand in front of my door.
Do this 10 more times. We're going to be here all night. No one's leaving this room.
No, we are not. Okay, we'll start.
Someone has to leave.
So, you arrive at Kansas Fest, excited for some retro fun. Suddenly, you realize you've arrived late. Three choices. Check in at the desk, race downstairs to the session room, head to the lounge to meet people.
My first time, I'm going to head to the lounge to meet people.
You lug your luggage into the lounge, where nerds are nerding. Someone is rebuilding a 2GS power supply. Someone else is playing Choplifter on the TV. Two choices. Say hello to the nerds, or watch the Choplifter game.
I will watch the Choplifter game.
You sit down and watch the Choplifter game. Pew, pew, pew. It's one of your favorite games. Three choices. Give advice to the player, wait your turn, then play, or say, that's not how you spell favorite, because I had spelled it the Canadian way on the card.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, seeing as how I suck at games, I'm certainly not going to be offering any suggestions, so I'm going to patiently wait my turn.
Eventually, it's your turn to play. Your guns go pew, pew, pew. Your chopper goes fwop, fwop, fwop. Two choices. Keep playing until you rescue 15 hostages, or keep playing until you rescue 17 hostages.
17 hostages.
The Apple people are cringing because they know you've made a mistake. Here we go. You play for hours, then for days. You miss all of Cantor's Fast. But then finally you do it. You save 17 out of the 16 hostages. You've done the impossible. Or maybe you're just standing in the hallway in front of my door imagining all this. In that case, you're probably a loony. The end.
But I'm alive!
Undo.
15 hostages.
I can't keep my thumb in that. I don't know what card number we're at. 12. 13, 14, 15, just one to go. But suddenly, the power goes out. It is pitch black. You are likely to be eaten by a Gru. Two choices. Search for the circuit breakers or tell a ghost story.
Tell a ghost story.
You tell a spooky story. Everyone gets scared and goes home. You are left alone, scared and alone, totally all alone. Except for whatever it is that is dragging itself wetly across the floor toward you.
See what the people do?
So I think that's good. That gives everybody a taste. So that was what my door was this year. It was a little silly choose-your-own-adventure game that mostly just killed everybody or drove you insane or what have you. So there you go. So,
award-winning door.
There were three of us got the winning award things. But again, I don't think, as much as it's a contest, it's more like everything here. You do Hackfest, you do the door, just because it's fun. And for me, it was a neat way to sort of make my door entertaining and ideally give back and entertain my fellow Kansas testers. So, we've got people around our non-round table here that are first-timers at Kansas Fest. We've got people that have been here for, I think Ken was actually born at Kansas Fest.
This is my 18th consecutive Kansas
Fest. Half your life, right? Or almost half your life?
Exactly half my life. I was 19 when I first came, so that's 18 years.
Crazy. So I'd like us to maybe not go around in a circle, but just do a free-form discussion and talk a bit about, let's start with what's new for those who have never been here before. So who are the news? Who's the first time in Kansas?
First time for me, yeah.
Okay, right.
Yep.
So maybe we'll go around with just you three.
Four.
I say three, four. Who's fourth? Four. Oh, right, John. Of course. Sorry, John. So Michael, why don't we start with you? It's your first time at Kansas Fest. You flew from halfway around the world. Is this what you were anticipating?
Well, I didn't really know what I was anticipating. Of course, I'd read about what had been in previous ones. But still, on the plane for nearly 20 hours of flight, hanging around in terminals, and then I finally get here, and it's just unbelievable. There's the camaraderie of it, meeting the people, and then just the sheer overload of presentations. I think I've never enjoyed being sleep deprived as well, and it's just starting to show. But I'm just totally overwhelmed. Can't believe it, and in anyone who can get here easily next year, do, and anyone who can make the time or to get away, it is worth the trip no matter where you are on this planet.
And I do find that's generally, anybody who's been to Kansas Fest, you ask them, well, what do you think? They immediately start evangelizing.
Oh
my gosh, you should come, it's amazing.
I've seen the light.
I don't know that I've spoken to anybody who ever comes here and then says, I don't think it was worth the money, or I don't think it was fun, or... Maybe they just don't come back, we don't know, but so who else is new? Rob was, right?
Yeah. It's like the summer camp I wish I had when I was a kid, you know? It's the, rather than getting just like beat up or at the athletic summer camps and stuff.
We haven't told
you
about Sunday.
I was scheduled to pick you up later. Yeah, that's still cool, right?
Yeah, doubly because the Atari user. But
I was going to say, you thought Atari Bash was a
It's literal. Yeah, and Quinn didn't even say boo Atari once to me.
Moments ago, in fact. You might be tuning me out.
She was blocking you out during your
It's pretty common after 20 minutes, people...
Unless we hook seven of us together, they don't even hear.
Yeah.
No, it's been great, yeah, and I would definitely come back, and I'd recommend other Atari users show up, although I'm not sure that you guys want that, but...
We're definitely spring.
Well, enough show up and become an Atari case.
Well, that was the one thing I forgot to mention. I was coming here for the pure Apple-ness of Kansas Fest, but it's all of the other flavors of retro computers that are here. It's just amazing, and the presentation. So just finding out about the Cocos and just finding out about the other machines that are there and then just chatting with Atari users. But it's great. It's just an experience that's so hard to describe without just sort of going off the top of my head.
Yeah, with fewer graphics modes, it is harder to describe.
I got paid that one.
To try to use your sound chip to describe... Oh, wait, you can't. You don't have that.
And the reality is, most people who are into retro computers are into lots of different retro computers. Yeah. And we could probably agree that an anything but Commodore festival...
we can all agree on that, yeah.
Yes. Well, aren't the Commodores users still loading their cars to come?
And I also...
Hear that, RoboHera?
No, I'm using Fastload.
Okay. In the 6502, I bought the assembly lines book that Chris Torrance edited. You know, and all that 6502 assembly is applicable to the Atari. So.
Yeah, that's
a lot
fantastic.
Of commonality.
That's a fantastic.
Yeah, that is a good book.
Yeah, I actually read through that book back in January as part of my Retro Challenge project, and that's what I used for doing the port of my game to the Apple II. And it's a really cool book. So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. But
briefly.
So, well, it's only my second year. So, I see the same enthusiasm. I see the same camaraderie. That I saw last year, so I really don't have that much of a perspective. Quinn, this is your second year as well.
Yeah, well, and you said like evangelizing. I think so. As soon as I got home last year, I booked my flights and blocked up vacation time immediately and started working on what I was going to show this year. So yeah, there's no question. It's amazing, and it gets better every year. I mean, I had a few issues last year, and this year everything was fixed. Like everything was better. So.
Prison showers.
Yeah, prison showers. I mean, yeah, honestly, the bathroom labeling, the signage was all better. I mean, yeah.
I do definitely want to talk about how it's been run and what's different, because I've noticed that as well. But let's get our final noob.
I thought that I was going to be able to have some downtime to actually do some things that I was.
That was me last year.
Yeah, was classic noob.
Yeah, didn't you look at the schedule? There was no downtime scheduled.
And even the stuff that doesn't look like it's scheduled is scheduled.
Right. I did look at the schedule, but I thought, oh, maybe I'm not going to be interested in that. But after going to one or two of the sessions and the quality of what was being presented, I was like, oh, I definitely want to go to that. So I really don't have any downtime. So
1 to 7 a.m.
Yeah, basically, get up in the morning and you're doing stuff until you go to bed at 4 a.m. Exactly.
So I have noticed, I don't know if it's just me, but Quinn was touching on this, that I think this is one of the best run Kansas Fest. I've been to a few of them, but a bunch of little things. Compared to last year where the cafeteria was kind of down for maintenance, now it's back and better than it's ever been, I think. It's been fantastic. But what else, for the people who have been here a bunch of times, like say Ken, this is your 900th time. You are immortal and sleep hanging from the ceiling wrapped in a cloak of your wings. Like, how does this, not necessarily compare, but what's, if anything, different this year than in previous Kansas Fests?
Well, I can answer that from two perspectives. One is Rockhurst itself is really on top of their game this year. They delivered a ton of tables to the presentation room so that we can arrange it to accommodate 73 people. Mm-hmm. The rear entrance from this hall, which was under construction, was put on hold so that we can use it. The cafeteria, which was under construction last year, is gorgeous and available to us. The staff is very accommodating to the vegetarians, so even when there are no vegetarian entrees out there, they go in the back and they grab something that they set aside just for us, which is great. The party barn, which we've used in previous years as a presentation hall, although not this year, was almost unusable in past years because we had to paper the windows so that we could see the projector, and they have coated it with something so that if we were to use that hall, we could actually see what we're doing in there. One of the reasons that Rockhurst is so on top of their game is because of improved communication with the Kansas Fest committee. And the committee has undergone some restructuring in the past year, and they seem to be talking amongst themselves that there's clear communication about who is doing what and what needs to be done. They just added two more committee members this year. So there's the core of Steve Weirich, Sean Fahey, Andy Malloy, and Peter Neubauer, and they just added Dagan Brock and Martin Hay. As well as Kirk Mitchell, who is also already on the committee. And they have gone so far as to announce the dates for next year's Kansas Fest.
Yeah,
great job. Put it into my calendar.
I already did.
Kansas,
in there.
Kansas Fest 2015, the dates were not announced until February of 2015, which made it very hard for us to plan our summer schedules and request time off from our day jobs for those who have
and
them.
Book international flights.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas this year, we already know that Kansas Fest 2016 will be held July 19th to the 24th at Rockhurst University.
So Stephen, let me ask you, huge difference between numbers from last year to this year. If we had another 20 people added next year, any contingency plans for...
And what if they were all Atari users?
Well, we have the third floor we haven't used yet, so we have a place to put them.
And brick them up.
And bottle them up. That is something we're going to have to think about for next year, because we fit people into our little basement conference room here. I mean, for those who aren't attending, what we're doing here is we're using a dormitory at Rockhurst University, and we have the nice advantage of staying upstairs in the dorm rooms and then come downstairs to the basement to the rec room that they have, basically, that we've been able to arrange any old way we want to into a conference room. And we've been able to fit people in there very nicely, I think. Pretty much everybody was there for the keynote. We usually aren't fully attended for every session, so not having all 74 chairs available for those things wouldn't make a big difference for the rest of it. But we may have to be thinking about being creative for next year if we find that we get the popularity expanding, the number of people attending. We'll have to kind of think about how to change things. That does make it a bit more of a challenge.
May I make a suggestion? With 73 people, it's hard to fit them all into one room, and with 73 people, many of whom want to present, you're turning down sessions or booking them all the way up till midnight.
Yes.
Because there is stuff going on all the way up till midnight tonight. And I like having some free time to just lounge, and that's when you create opportunities for unexpected connections, mm-hmm. as opposed to just being lectured to. So maybe having two tracks, and having one in the presentation hall down here, and one in the party barn, which is immediately next door to Corcoran.
And that may be where we have to do, is we'll simply have to split things up. They haven't had to do separate tracks since the Resource Central days in the early years of this event, back from 89 to 94. So that would be a very welcome but unusual change for this event.
I would not welcome it.
Yeah, that would not be very sweet.
What I was about to say was, oh gosh, I hope you don't do multiple tracks.
Right.
I go to so many conferences that are multiple tracks.
And you always miss out on...
Right, there's always something you can't do.
I bet you half the conferences that I look back on and are my favorite are ones I wouldn't go to because I would have been at the other track. And I wouldn't have been at the ones that I then come and rave about.
That is the challenge of running something of... I mean, frankly, you get to anything beyond a certain size, and there's no way you can have everybody go to everything. I mean, look at Comic-Con, which I've never been to, but I'm sure there's not a single track of things going on there. There's probably multiple sessions with multiple speakers. It's going to be like that with MineCon and Minecraft. They just had, they got multiple things going on there because with all those people attending, you simply can't do it all in one big room for everybody.
Mm. There's one option you're not considering.
2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Or I think a cult would be fine.
Well, you know,
like a Charles Manson thing without the killing.
In my early days of Kansas Fest, the Kansas Fest began on Wednesday. People would fly in and arrive on Wednesday, and Tuesday was an optional early arrival day. When you sign up on the registration form, you check a box and pay an additional fee to arrive on Tuesday. Now everybody's starting to show up on Monday. So,
well, not here.
And once you're arriving on Monday, you might as well include the previous weekend.
You may as well include the previous week. Tuesday, but not a lot happens on Tuesday.
Right.
There's
right.
room to expand that schedule.
There's various things that we could look at for helping with it. And you know, we were talking about what's so different about Kansas Fest, and this is, I don't know of any other. There probably is some place I just haven't heard, but there's got to be very few other computing conferences, retro or otherwise, that have this way of doing things where you literally bring people into a dorm and you have them live with each other for a few days and
right.
you eat with each other.
It's a big part.
And it's way different than going to a hotel where they're having it at the conference room down in the hotel and you come back to your room afterwards and who knows where everybody else in the hotel
right.
is staying,
absolutely.
If they're even staying at that hotel. This is so different that 99% of people who attend Kansas Fest don't come just for the sessions. They come and they stay here.
Well, you live the conference. That's the difference.
Yeah.
You live it.
It's 24/7.
It's not just coming in. I mean, the early days of this, when they did the first of these post-Resource Central events, it was 3 days, and they you know, barely did 3 days and they had to get out because that's all they had time scheduled in the place they were doing it at to meet. And they couldn't meet more days than that. And as time passed, it kind of spread out to more things. We have many traditions we've hung on to with us. So we have this weird living in the dorm arrangement, and we have all these weird traditions that we keep up with. And I think it's all, like somebody said, it's like summer camp. It is. You know, I used to call it summer camp for geeks years ago, and it's kind of like what it is.
It is. Well, totally.
And the cross-pollinization projects that happen. So when are you going to be working on the Wii GUI for Plasma?
We've talked about that, and in fact, just downstairs a minute ago, Mark was busy adding a new widget to Wii GUI in the middle of the programmers' roundtable. So
I mean, and that very thing, the very cross-pollinization, back in the day when online collaboration was much more difficult than it is today. I mean, you can talk with somebody on Skype from Australia, for example, and you get a pretty good connection, and you can discuss things, you can show pictures. It's really not that hard to collaborate on events. Years ago, we had people from different parts of the world get together, and they suddenly realized, oh, this is how you can get an Apple IIgs on the internet, back in the day when pretty much all you could do was just dial up to a service somewhere. They figured out how to dial in to get a connection to get on the early internet with that computer that was never designed to do that. And it was because of them all being in the same room talking to each other and getting these programmers together that they suddenly were able to make those connections and make it happen. So it's a very unusual environment to do it, but it's an exciting and invigorating situation to be in.
I think it's amazing, compared to last year, compared to any of the other years I've come here, that we are now having this little podcaster thing. We just spend a bunch of time saying, how are we going to deal with it when it gets too big to be here? That wasn't even an issue that was on the verge of being a problem before. So that itself is amazing.
These are really good problems to have, yeah.
Yeah. And, wow.
And random other improvement that I haven't heard mentioned yet, can I say how much better the Wi-Fi is this year?
Yes.
It's been flawless for me.
Yeah, we were able to discuss with Rockhurst about the issues they had with last year. The thing was that they had it set up for their usual event stuff, and if you didn't put in the username and password just right more than once or twice, it locked it up for everybody. And then they had to go unlock it, and we got them to get us some special setting this year so that it hasn't been a problem. It has really, really worked pretty well.
We're great. Yeah, they're very willing to work with us.
Yeah.
We are not the typical summer camp that Rockhurst hosts, and we have seen little soccer kids running around campus, and that is far more typical.
Taking up the Galaga machine.
How dare they? No, but even the conference assistants, the CAs, who are undergrads here, the first year we showed up and we started hauling in these massive computers, they're like, what is going on? And fortunately, they've grown accustomed to us in the 11 years now that they've hosted us. Our first time at Rockhurst was in 2005.
Yeah, fantastic. Love this conference. So, I would assume everyone plans to be back next year?
It's already booked out.
Yep. I already put it on my calendar. It's on the calendar.
Spread to all our Atari friends.
No, seriously, bring your friends.
Yeah, bring them. I'm very happy that we've had such a variety.
And really, as far as I'm concerned, and I mean, sure, we have the old rivalry from back in the day, but we totally have stuff that we can learn from people who have Commodores or Cocos or Ataris or whatever. And all kidding aside, this is all part of the retro love that you guys love Ataris because that you had something, some special connection you made with that back when you first got into computers. Our situation happened to be with Apple IIs, but it's the same kind of enthusiasm, a little different focus, and they all had their strengths and weaknesses, and it's a place to share and learn about that and have a little bit of kidding with each other, which is hopefully taken good-naturedly. If I went to an Atari conference, they probably would give me a little stuff, giving me a little crap too, but
but there is no Atari conference. However, you are welcome to come to Illinois to the Cocoa Fest.
Oh, so we could go to the Cocoa Fest and pretend they're Ataris.
Atari party.
Yeah, no, I'll second that. I mean, this cross-pollination is kind of new, right? It feels like, this year, and the Atari session that you guys gave and the Coco session were some of my favorites. I really enjoyed those, learning about it, and yeah, we had lots of fun. We found that Type in Basic program that existed for Apple and Atari, and we ran it. And
the benchmark?
Yeah, a little maze snake thing, and the Apple got trounced, but we had a great time doing it. So, you know, I got to touch an Atari 800 XL, which I'd never seen before. So
Rob had one
it.
Like that on his podcast, didn't you, where you typed in one of your episodes? Yeah.
Oh, where a guy actually had converted the Sabotage, the Apple game, converted the object code to the Atari.
Yeah.
It did seem that, in general, I didn't see any negativity, other than jokingly, about the non-Apple parts of
the
Did anybody see, like...
No, it was all
I find that interesting. Like, I don't know that...
Well, you guys might get tired of it if we show up every year and take up a bunch of speaking slots and that sort of stuff,
the fact that you're here means you're an Apple II user.
Well, right. Everybody seems happy to have us. And
let's address that to, say, the Apple people in the room for a bit. Let's say 5 years from now, the conference has the exact same number of Apple II fans, fanatics, and lovers as it does now, but that same number again two and three times... for people who are attending, who are doing sessions, and who are fans of other computers. Same conference? Would you still want to go or not? Ken, would you still come if this was a multi-computer retro conference versus an Apple II conference that happened to have a sprinkling of lesser computers?
At that point,
it'll never be different, Kevin.
At that point, it's VCF.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to VCF.
That's what I'm thinking.
But it isn't. No, I mean, you don't live at VCF.
No. VCF is more about show.
So is this less about the Apple and more about just retro stuff and living together, or is this still an Apple conference?
I think it's more about the people and the exchange of ideas, and it just happens to be Apple because that's the way it started.
Talk like a
Commodore. Damn, fighting words.
Like a filthy Cocoa user. Quinn and I are announcing our own conference. Screw you all. It's going to be only Apple. No. But I don't know. Like, I don't know how to be a perfect honest. I don't know how I feel about that. This is my Apple II conference that I come to.
I'm sorry, that's still a no-brainer for me. Yeah. Absolutely, I come. If there's 2x this number of people and they're all Atari people, I'm still here. Yeah. The same number of Atari Apple. Same number of Apple people are still here. The conference is not lessened by the presence of even more love of retro.
It's a conference. It's not a show. It's not it's not a series of exhibits than those horrid little display cubicles. It's just something that's totally different. And that is the main reason that's got me here, and I'm going to try my damnedest to actually get a leave slip to come back here next year. I was planning to do this every other year, but I've enjoyed it so much, I want to come back for 2016.
Yeah, so like what everybody's saying here, I didn't come here to push an Atari agenda. I came here to...
Well, I wish you would stop handing out the pamphlet.
That is what
you
can't
have given me your business card.
I told you to stop knocking on the door.
I did put ready prompt on the door. I came here to learn about the Apples. That's one thing that I didn't have as a child, and that's one thing I always wanted, but I didn't have the money.
Oh, yeah. It's the same, but in reverse. I've actually never really touched and used an Atari before this week.
But he's always had money. Just the opposite.
To be honest, I was playing Devil's Advocate, and I actually do feel the same. And if it ever went multi-track, that would be really interesting, that it's the Apple track, the Coco track, the Atari track, the Commodore another track, or what have you.
I would go to the other track.
Oh, absolutely. I would again, though, be feeling like I'm missing out because I want to go to everything on
the
track.
But see, that was my concern. Yeah. It wasn't the people. If three times more Atari users showed up, that would be awesome because, like I said, they're here because they love the Apple II. And I love individual sessions about Atari and the Coco and expanding that breadth of knowledge I have. But for those computers, I would want breadth, not depth. A whole day of sessions about the Atari, I've never used an Atari. I have no nostalgia with it. And I would not have the same level of interest that I would for the Apple II.
But it's an interesting idea of a way to actually make this expand dramatically.
Significantly
and dramatic and significant. But you know, like, because just we advertise in the Apple community, they try to get people to come out, but there's a lot of people who like retro computers who aren't necessarily Apple people.
Well, I'll tell you,
week one Apple, week two Atari.
I'll tell you, 10, 15 years ago, attendance at this event was sliding down precipitously. I think in 2008 or so, significantly, there were like 28 people in the group photo. And so we talked about is one way to boost our numbers to expand it to other computers. And we
it's taken this long to say, yeah, maybe we should.
But now that we're growing the event, it's interesting that we still have that question. Should
and as long as the KFest committee is stacked strictly with Apple people.
Old guard. So. The old guard.
It doesn't seem like you're trying to add, necessarily add other people from other platforms. We're just coming in because, hey, look, that's interesting. I think the podcasting world is helping that, and the resurgence of podcasting the last few years is maybe sort of coinciding with the growth.
That's how I learned about it. And just to give my experience, I came in 2013, and I had never touched an Apple, not even the fruit.
Still have
in my entire life, you know. So, and that was, I mean, that was a really good year to show up, right? Because Wozniak's here, and the Apple One showed up, and all that other stuff. But I, up until that point, my only knowledge was, you know, Crapple, you know, or I don't remember derisive name for Ataris, you know.
Man, that still burns.
There were no derisive names for Ataris. But there was Commode Door.
Trash 80.
So I remember like the little, you know, internecine battles, I guess you call it.
Which we jokingly still do, but the reality is
I showed up and I like
even
I,
those of us who say
my 30-year-old computer is better than your 30-year-old.
I normally show up to things in an apologetic mood anyway, but I came here
and
thinking,
rightly so.
Oh, you know, I don't know if I want to expose the fact that I hadn't even touched an Apple. But what really drew me here was the community. It's the people. So that's what's really special about it. You know, whether somebody likes Atari or somebody likes Commodore, I don't know that I really care about that so much as that I get to hang out for a week with really smart people.
Sure.
We're doing a lot of very interesting things.
And the reality is the people here who like one old computer versus another old computer have so much more in common than not. It's in general. Yeah. There are people who, I mean, as the general public, most of the people in my regular life are not fans of 30 and 40-year-old technology.
I can't explain it to anybody.
This is the tribe.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I think Jason Scott said it perfectly on Open Apple, and he's like, when he tells people about this, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to a week long event for the Apple II." Oh, is that, how did he say it?
He says it's a 5-day Apple II conference, or 5-day conference. I can't do it justice.
Yeah. He did it perfect. Yeah. Basically, it's like you're doing what? For how long?
Yeah.
Why?
I get the same thing. You're doing what for your vacation?
Right.
Print and post on Facebook.
Yeah. One of my friends asked, "Where are you going for your vacation?" To a crappy dorm in Kansas City in July.
No one even asked me any further because I figured they just figure, that must be like some kind of a work thing. I don't know.
some kind of
an Apple.
It's
like,
just kind of easier to go up and say, "I'm going to a computer conference." Yeah. People assume it's work.
Yeah.
Right. It saves so much time.
Right.
Oh no, I like to give them the confused. Look on their face. That's what I aim for.
Yeah. Well, that's what I got from the TSA guy as I was coming in. And he said, you're here for business or for pleasure? I said, oh, definitely pleasure. And he said, so you're going to the conference? Yeah. And he says, oh, what sort? I'm going to an Apple II conference. Oh, I love the latest version of OS X.
Right.
I had to explain to him, the Apple II, back in 1977, and blank expression on his face there, and...
Was it 1977?
You finally tweaked
a lot of DOS 3.2. Yeah.
You know what galls me more are the well-meaning individuals who say, you tell them an Apple II conference, they're like, oh, I had that. It was like the LC or the SE. And I'm like, No, you didn't.
They're just old.
It's his fault.
Right.
Well, this Kumbaya is all great, but officially still Buatari. But
officially.
So it's actually Ken's fault that I'm here.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd I do?
Well, so a few years ago, I was in the Retro Challenge 2012, winter warm-up of my game Farfall.
Oh, did you win Juice GS?
And I won a Juice GS subscription.
Ah.
And so reading your fantastic magazine.
So the blame lies entirely with me.
Now who's proselytizing?
Well, I did attend a VCF event and met Mike Willigal and a couple other fellows who evangelized as well. But the seed had already been planted.
I didn't make that connection. Cool. Thank you.
But yeah, that's how I got here. And that's actually
why I did the Apple port for my Retro Challenge event in January, so I could come to this event without feeling like a total poser.
I thought you were going to say so you could win a copy of Juice GS.
No,
you may.
No, I pay for them now, but yeah. So I wanted to learn, yeah, have an excuse to learn or whatever, and so the Assembly Lines book was out and. It just all kind of clicked. Oh, that's a good idea, and learn. But like you say, it's about learning about another retro event. And everybody had, I think, had an Apple II experience at some point. If you're my age, yeah, they were in school or whatever. Right. It wasn't my main machine, but you know, I did initially learn logo in the third grade or something on the Apple II. You know, like you say, it's cool. You come and you're dealing with the other people that are the same kind of crazy, and there's a certain catharsis there. So,
I actually really, really liked just sort of discovering recently how similar these machines are to each other. I mean, I sort of knew that the Commodore kind of worked on the same processor, but like how close the Atari is to the Apple, I had no idea, because they're just, you know, it's just another platform, and you know, you hate it or whatever, but you know, but it turns out it's all exactly the same, and you can take, you know, everything with the graphics code and just run it on the other machine. You know, it's crazy.
When Rebecca Hyman says, "Oh, I developed the stuff on the Atari on the Apple II. I ported the Apple II monitor to the Atari because I was familiar with that." I mean, just like it's the same thing. It's the same flavor.
Of course, the favorite part was where she had the Commodore disk interface plugged into the Apple II, so you just didn't have to touch the Commodore at all.
Which is smart. You know, it's like wearing gloves.
Exactly.
And there's a delivery date required for the game. So.
And I
loved when for the PC version of Dragon Warge, the executable actually says created on Apple IIgs.
I actually went on eBay during the talk and did a buy it now on the PC version just so I could have that little artifact.
Yeah.
So, it is now past midnight here, local time, so I think we will wrap things up because we've got 3 or 4 hours more stuff to do in the hallways. This was fantastic. I think it was one of the best Kansas Fests ever. Certainly, I mean, just such a great time. Everybody should definitely come and join us here, so in the future you too could gather around the Square Round Table. We have a little tradition at the end of our CR where we shout out a little word. I don't know if the rest of you have heard it, but it might be nice if you'll join us in this crazy thing that we do. So thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time,
Retro Computes!
Bootari.